This is the 9 with Ryan Pinder on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
The Eric Francis Show is brought to you by Horse Racing Alberta. Live horse racing is back Tuesdays and Sundays at Century Downs Racetrack and Casino. Fans are welcome back to the track and can still take part from home. Visit hpibet.com.
.9 on a Monday. Well, welcome to the 9. It's the Eric Francis Show. Busy hour ahead. NHL hockey. No NFL, Francis. No, won't do it. Ryder Cup conversation, I'm sure. Blue Jays flirting with a playoff spot. And more Flames, obviously. Francis, good morning. How was the weekend?
Great weekend, my man. How long is this great weather going to continue? I mean, every time you squeeze in a late golf round, you think, wow, this was probably the last one.
I would
and
love to
look ahead, and it's two more weeks of great weather ahead of us.
Usually it's clockwork. As soon as the Flames have a date on the calendar for their golf tournament, that's the end. That's you get man weather and then put the clubs away. This has not been that, and I'd like to tell you you're the only one thinking what you're thinking, but I literally just texted someone, golf next week? Can we golf? Is golf? Maybe golf can still be going? Maddie was at Kananaskis yesterday playing the K. This is all gravy, baby. Woo!
Gravy indeed, and I just last night, I'm like, look, it's supposed to be 24 today. I need a tee time. The courses are still rammed. It's great. Like, people are all thinking the same thing we are, which is get it in now because we'll have 6 months or 8 months or whatever the number is, lamenting the fact if we didn't go with these last games in. So it's good. But, yeah, interrupted by a Flames preseason game last night, which we'll get into it. But, I think those people who went, there were only about 8,000 in the building. I think they're pretty excited, thinking, oh, I'll get to be a part of the first crowd in 18 months at the Dome, and players are going to respond really well, and it's going to be fun again. It was horrific last night.
Okay, so tell us more. I did not venture to take in the game. There was playoff implication, baseball ongoing with Sunday Night Football. There's a lot happening, and we'll get to the Flames, but I certainly hope that any conclusions drawn from last night have everything to do with it being game one of the preseason and not anything that we'd expect to see in the regular season. It sounded awful.
Yeah, you'd be a fool to sit here and go, wow, it's going to be a terrible year because look how they started last night. I mean, it was a preseason game. The Flames had two forward lines of veterans dressed, and then the rest were all rookies. And they're starting to try and figure out their defensive pairs. And you could see exactly what they're trying to do. But I don't know. I guess I just thought that maybe some energy would be derived from the fact that, there were fans in the building for the first time because it's obviously the number one thing that every player is excited about this season. Like, ask a player what they're excited about this year, and they don't talk about chasing a playoff spot or anything, that they all talk about fans. And I'm not saying that's the wrong answer. I think it's the right answer. But it was kind of a disappointing crowd. I think they were thinking that there might be upwards of 13,000 people there.
There were not.
It was well under 10, probably more around 8. So the atmosphere was more like a hitman game. Wasn't quite as raucous as you'd hope or expect. But true to form, God bless the fans, 25 seconds in, we had our first Luch. So they didn't forget who their favorites were. They were cheering on Luch every time he touched the puck. And that was just when he touched the puck. And when he crushed a couple guys, they really got going. So anyway, fun to be there, but obviously a very uninspiring performance from the team. And I asked Daryl Sutter after the game, like, are you mad about a game like this? Like, they were outshot, what was it, 49-15? Like, that's unbelievable. Like, that's hard to fathom. I thought maybe Sutter would come in day one of preseason and be furious, but he said, no, I'm just looking at individuals. That's all I'm looking at in a preseason game. I'm not sure you're too worried about the score or anything like that. But even in that vein, he couldn't have been too thrilled because nobody really, really stepped up. I mean, Danny Vladar, the goalie, was pretty damn good. Both goalies were pretty darn good. They were under siege the whole night. But
both Flames goalies, guys, yeah.
Both Flames goalies, sorry. Well, both Oilers goalies, too. They got a shutout but on 15 shots. But I did think the one thing, we know that he's not easy on rookies. We know he's not easy on young guys. Somebody asked him about Pelche. And, I think most coaches always take that opportunity to talk about something positive. Not Daryl. He just kind of he just kind of winced and kind of shook his head and smiled and said, "That's a young player."
Okay, so stop right there. We got it for you. This is a question about Jacob Pelche, the Flames' first rounder from 2019 in last night's loss.
Did you have any initial impressions from Jacob Pelche tonight? I know it's a hard game to evaluate.
Yeah, he's a pretty young player in his first game.
That's not exactly a ringing endorsement, although I don't know he would have given a ringing endorsement to last night, rookie or vet.
You know, when you lose 4-0, how are you going to just, even if you wanted to manufacture some positivity, you know, it's tough to do. But when it's Daryl Sutter, he's not even going to try and manufacture it. You know, I think he was criticized last year at times for the way he was so frank about the lack of development in his mind of Dylan Dubé and Valimaki. But that's just his approach, you know, right or wrong. He's very open and honest in terms of the way he sees it. And he's not just going to sugarcoat things and say, yeah, no, I saw some great things, blah, blah, blah. You know, if it's not good enough, it's not good enough. And that's basically the way he's always going to spell it out for you. So that was the most stark reaction when asked about anybody last night.
I don't want to overreact yesterday, but we do have a game to talk about, and this is the nature of sports, whether it's meaningful or not. We want to, okay, what happened, and what do we think of it? I understand that reaction with Pelche. Would he react the same way about a veteran? Like, was he asked directly about Eric Gudbranson's game, which was apparently atrocious? And again, the first preseason game doesn't mean everything, but do you think he'd have the same reaction? Did he have the same reaction when asked about a nearly $2 million defender that he spoke to on the first day of free agency who struggled mightily?
Yeah, nobody asked about individuals really other than Tyler Pitlick because he left the game with a lower body injury, which, you know, interestingly, 3 games they've played this year, if you count the 2 prospects games, each game they've lost a player.
Yeah.
Shinval the first game, then Zari for looks like a month with a broken ankle, and now Pitlick. And, you know, he didn't sound too upbeat about that. I don't know what the problem was, but he wasn't really all that excited, obviously excited about that. So, no, he did not go individually. But, you know, I'll go through it individually. You know, to me, the highlight was I'll call them all the King's men. You know, Richardson looked a lot faster and peppier than I kind of expected. He was on the puck a lot. Lewis was blocking shots and hitting everything that moved. Luch was probably the best Flame out there last night. He hit everything that moved. Which is, what you ask of him every night. He created some energy with the crowd a little bit.
All the King's men. So, I like that. Yeah. Triple crown.
That's what I'm calling it. All the King's men. I don't know if I'm going to get credit for it, but when it comes out that way, that's the way it's going to be. But anyway, it's, and there were, the only other veteran line was Pitlick, Dubé, and Backlund. And other than that, it was just a bunch of rookies not a single, you know, I will say this, Glenn Godden did the lion's share of penalty killing last night, it seemed like. And they took 8 penalties, I think it was. Godden and Richie were the first 2 guys over the boards for all the penalty killing. And I thought they did a damn good job. You know, Godden, this coach has gone on record as talking about how we need 5 centermen. Like, 4's not going to do it. You need at least 5. And obviously over the course of a season, you need probably 6 or 7. But, you know, Godden would be auditioning for one of that, you know, that 5th spot. But, you know, I guess if I had to give a gold star last night to anyone, or maybe a silver star or bronze, Godden might get it just because of the way he hung in there and was worked to the bone killing penalties.
They took 7 and just 2 to the Oilers. It was there was not a statistic that they looked good on, although I guess Dan Vladar, to your point, busy and, you know, not bad when you're making what? 21 of 23. That's a good debut of sorts. I mean, you can only control what he can control. It wasn't his fault they got smoked, right?
Exactly. And you know what? He had one. You ask the fans who were at the game, they'll tell you like they probably left pretty upbeat about this guy. I know he let in 2 goals, and they were both pretty crappy little chintzy goals along the ice, kind of just in the crease. Like, oh geez, how'd that squeeze through his pads? But he had a double stack reverse pad save, if you can envision that. So he stacked the pads, but he was not facing the puck. He was backwards. So he saved it with the back of his pad. Mm. It was quite an amazing save. And so the crowd probably left talking about that more than anything else last night. You know, he's a big kid, same size. Well, same. All three goalies that are in the mix here this year are all the same size. They're all 6'5" and monster players. But he was quite physical. Like, there was a lot of flopping and moving around and saving second and third shots. So, you know, I think we're going to have to get into Vladar quite a bit down the road here. It's not sexy to talk about a backup goalie, but he's their guy. And, you know, he's got five NHL games experience. And I know he's probably only going to be asked to play 15 games this year. But, you know, we all know, I don't care how many games you play in the National Hockey League, if you don't win at least half your games, your team's not making the playoffs. So there's a lot of pressure on this guy. And by all accounts, he's ready to make that jump. Well, by all the Flames accounts, it's a bit of a gamble. It's a significant gamble. And especially when the other guy after that, Werner, only has, I think, two NHL starts, something like that. So
not a lot of hockey between them at the NHL level. There's a lot of, I guess, what would you call it, potential. There's a lot of skill. But in terms of known quantities at the NHL level, nothing behind Markstrom.
Yeah, and I can't see it being, you know, I heard the guys talking on the broadcast last night about how it's a competition. Look, they gave up a third-round pick for Vladar. Vladar was one of the best goalies in the AHL the last couple seasons. Vladar's the guy. I don't care how good or bad his camp is. He's the guy. You're not putting him down in the minors and risking losing him on waivers after you spent a third-rounder on him. So, you know, we can forget the facade. I mean, he's the guy who's going to start the season as the backup of the Flames. And, you know, pretty good start so far. And you're going to see a lot of him, I think, in the preseason to make sure that he's up to snuff.
What did you make of the big hulking defensemen? Zadorov's Flames debut, Gudbranson as well. We know what they are. That's huge and heavy. What do their games look like?
You know, there was rust everywhere last night. You know, Zadorov had one massive hit on a guy. We know he plays a very physical brand. We also know that sometimes it can be a bit of an adventure with him. You know, Daryl Sutter spoke about that and just said, basically, we got to get him to buy into our system and play the way we want him to play, which I think just basically is Sutter speak for he can't have the glaring mistakes. And so they're really trying to spend the whole camp trying to figure out if he's going to play, you know, with Tanev, who could definitely make up for a lot of the mistakes a guy will make, or like he was last night, he was with Anderson. And, you know, they were okay. You know, I mean, the whole team was terrible. They were in their own zone the whole night. I couldn't give you anything glowing to say about either one of them, but I also am not going to sit here and criticize them. The whole team just seemed uninspired. And just by the way, it's not like the Oilers brought McDavid.
No.
Like, that was the Bakersfield Condors right there.
Yeah, James Hamblin and Xavier Borgo and, you know, all kinds of people I didn't know existed. Well, Philip Kemp.
Exactly. Derek Ryan, of course, got a goal and an assist, and you could see the smile on his face, not in a jerk kind of way, but I think he probably smiled at the irony. It is preseason. He knows it doesn't matter, but I think he probably took a little bit of pleasure in getting a couple points last night. And but outside of him and a couple, I think Turris was in the lineup, who is barely an NHLer these days, I guess. It was a really young Oilers team that lay an absolute, you know, bootlicking on the Flames. Anyway, it's preseason. I don't think anyone needs to read too much into it, but if it happens two or three times more, then I think we have a conversation.
Where's Gudbranson at in his career? Because we know what he was in his prime. He's not that anymore. He only played 9 games last year with Nashville after 36 with Ottawa.
Yeah, I mean, there's another guy who you can pretend all you want that there's an open audition, and you know, he's a lock for that third pairing, right? I mean, I don't care how much of an adventure he might be in preseason. He's starting the season as their third pairing guy on the right side. They know that at any point in time they can call in Michael Stone, and that's been a nice little luxury for Daryl Sutter since he's gotten here. But I don't know where he's going to be. I mean, I still think, you know, I think people have been very critical of the signing, especially at that price. What is it, $2.75 million?
Yeah, 1.95.
1.95, sorry. I gave him a little raise there. But
please don't.
So, I don't know. He'll be someone we'll be watching closely in camp. I still think he could be a steady off the glass, sixth guy who can add some muscle and some presence. And, you know, there were a couple of moments where he shoved a couple guys, like right at the final whistle. He had some words with a guy and he was shoving some guys. You know, I think he knows he's got to be there and just be a presence and intimidate and clear the front of the net and high off the glass. And if you're looking for, you know, more than 5 or 7 points from a guy like that, obviously you're fooling yourself. You're just looking for a guy who'll be steady and hopefully be a good influence on Valimaki probably, or Connor Mackey, or whoever he's playing with on that third pairing.
Yeah, I just, and look, it may not go down this way. I just wonder, like, if you're Michael Stone or you're Oliver Shillington or you're Connor Mackey and you outplay this guy in camp, what does a leash look like for him? I just, the data hates him. Like, if you are into any sort of analytics at all, he's been dreadful for a while. And it seemed like the time of year and the type of player that would be PTO or league minimum, and instead it was almost $2 million. And we heard Daryl talk to him day one. Maybe it works. I just wonder what the leash looks like for a quote Daryl guy, and someone that is big and heavy. Like if this is a 5'9" power play quarterback, I know how it ends. If it's a rookie, I know how it ends. I don't know how it ends for this guy.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. Like, this is Daryl's guy. This is one of Daryl's guys. This is the kind of guy that Daryl wanted in. And, you know, big, tough, I'll say proven, just because he's proven he's an NHLer over the years. Yes, I know he played 9 games last year, but, you know, that's the way Daryl sees him, is that that's a fixture. He doesn't have to worry about a guy like Gudbranson. Maybe the preseason or the early season will dictate otherwise, but I'm not sure that Daryl's worried one iota about Eric Gudbranson in terms of his stature as the third pairing defenseman. But, you know, time will tell if I'm wrong. If he's wrong, sorry. Not about me. It's about him.
Hey, we are live in the Iconic Studios, powered by Iconic Electric and Controls, as the Eric Francis Show rolls every Monday 9 until 10. We'll be back in a moment, but a reminder, yeah, we're right in downtown Calgary, and Iconic, proudly owned and operated in Western Canada since 08. Community, it's Iconic. Contact them today at iconicec.ca. And Francis, I don't know about you, but been catching the station a whole lot of different ways these days. Of course, still AM waves in the air, I'm told. Also, a bunch of apps you can listen to. The Radio Player Canada app, Sportsnet 960. You can stream off the website, your phone, tablet, computer. You got a smart speaker, just yell at it. Tell it to put on Sportsnet 960, the fan. We got a Sportsnet app as well. And, of course, you can catch Flames games on Sirius XM Satellite Radio, the NHL app, or the Flames app. A lot of ways to do it. So no excuses to not be back with us, whether you're in the car, at home, on your phone, whatever it is. We'll come back and talk about some interesting top 6 line combinations for the Flames. And before 10 o'clock as well, a thought on the Ryder Cup. Is it the best, the worst, or both of golf? Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 The Fan is on the Radio Player Canada app. Cast Sportsnet 960 from the app to a nearby TV with a Google Home or any Chromecast-enabled device.
The pandemic ends for no one until it ends for everyone. UNICEF is leading the procurement and delivery of 2 billion COVID-19 vaccines to countries around the world. An effort of this scale has never been done before. By donating to UNICEF Canada by September 30th, Canadians have the opportunity to make a difference and support the vaccination of millions of people in lower-income countries. Every dollar donated by September 30th will be matched by the Canadian government. Donate today at unicef.ca or text VACCINES to 45678 to donate $10.
Back to the 9 with Ryan Pinder, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
The Eric Francis Show is brought to you by Horse Racing Alberta. Live horse racing is back Tuesdays and Sundays at Century Downs Racetrack and Casino. Fans are welcome back to the track and can still take part from home. Visit hpibet.com.
9:31, the Eric Francis Show rolls on. Just soaking up the dregs of summer. You get that tee time booked or what? You can always weasel your way in, Francis. Don't pretend you can't. Where are you playing?
It's done. I'm gonna play. You know what? I'm going to play at Springbank Links today. In the fall, I try to pick places where I don't think the leaves are going to be too much of an issue. And on the front nine, they might be, but on the back nine, I think it's pretty wide open.
Yeah, play the back twice.
It'll blow.
No big deal.
There you go. I might do that. I can walk the back. The front, I can't walk that front.
I heard one of the nines there is like Stairmasterville. Like, you want to get a workout in? You want to sweat? There you go.
Oh, dude, have you not played?
No, I haven't. No, actually, I have not. That's actually probably one of the few in the city I have not. So, yeah.
Yeah, you know, the old joke used to be that, or my old joke, you know, the two brothers, the Heisey brothers, have run it forever. And the joke to me was always that each one of them designed nine in completely opposite ways. Like one is highly controversial. Some people think it's tricked up, but it's a little unfair at times. The Devil's Triad in particular. And the back nine would be, I would submit, one of the easiest. Let me rephrase that. One of the friendliest nines in the city, you know, for walking, but also for playing. It's wide open, and there's, you know, it's tough to get into trouble there. So,
okay, I got nine. Anyway. I got an 18-hole dichotomy like that as well. Have you played Drumheller?
Yeah, there you go. Great comparison.
Because like
great
the front comparison. Nine is like bottom of the river valley, parkland course, grass and trees. Back nine is like desert golf on the top of canyons and hoodoos, and it's something.
Yeah. I don't mind that because
it's amazing back nine. You won't play anything like that in a lot of places in the world. Yeah,
for sure. It's just hey, at this time of year, it's just good to be getting out there, right?
No kidding. Okay, we will talk some golf. Ryder Cup this past weekend, kind of not really good to the last drop in the sense that the Americans went throttle down Thursday, Friday, and it was pretty evident how this thing was going to go well before the weekend. And, there's a chance. No, there wasn't a chance. This team was too good, and Europe needed to get off to a good start. Far from it. I think they're down 6-2 after the first eight matches or whatever. We'll get to that later on. But I think, you know, we haven't talked since camp opened, Francis. And
yeah.
I guess for those of us that thought the Monty Johnny experiment had run its course, well, hang on now. Because they have Elias Lindholm centering Blake Coleman and Matthew Tkachuk on the top line. Sutter talked about Tkachuk being better on the left than the right, which I found interesting. And the second line is there's Monty Johnny again. Johnny in a contract year. And how many years has he been in Calgary? This would be six probably, something like that?
7 years he's played
Seven years. And the sample size of Johnny with a center not named Sean Monahan, got to be less than 50 games. It's wild. And I'm not saying it's wrong, because when it's worked well. But it didn't work at all last year. They're back together, and they've been given a very well-rounded 200-foot player and a guy that's outscored both of them in even-strength goals the last 2 years, and Andrew Mangiapane. Just thoughts on the top six that Daryl threw at us in camp?
I think it's the perfect slotting. You know, I think one of the problems with this team the last several years is, you know, some guys have not been slotted properly and been playing up a line that they probably shouldn't be. You know, I think the addition of Coleman, and everyone's focusing, of course, on the loss of Giordano in the offseason that they didn't replace him. Sure, for no question about it, that's going to be, you know, maybe the biggest storyline all season long, that blue line. But the addition of Coleman, you know, I don't think it got the accolades that it probably deserved. Yeah, of course you overpaid for him because you overpay for everyone on the unrestricted free agent market. That's just the way it works, especially when you're situated in the middle of Alberta. But, you know, he does give them now six bona fide top six players, right? Like nobody could argue with me and say one of those guys is actually a third liner. If anyone out there is still thinking that Blake Coleman is a third liner, give your head a shake.
Okay? Well, hang on. So I hear what you're saying, but they signed him for six years. How many years is he going to be a top six forward?
Oh, God. You can play that game with every single player in the NHL.
No, you can play that game with all the free agents, which is why the smart GMs are on the sidelines for most of free agency, right? Like, who did Tampa go blow the brains out in free agency on?
This GM's not going to be here in 6 years, okay? And that's not even a slight on Brad Treliving. That's just the reality of the world. He's been here a long time. Anyway, I'm not going to get into that. The point is, every unrestricted free agent, anyone signed that day. Granted, the last couple of years of those deals, they're going to regret it. Sure, I get it. But I'm talking about right now.
Yep.
Right now, these six guys are all top six players. Coleman on that top line, I think, is actually brilliant because, first of all, a lot of people don't realize when he was in 2 years ago, just 2 years ago in New Jersey, he was on pace for well over 30 goals before he got traded for a Kings ransom to go to Tampa Bay, and rightly so. The guy helped them win the cup, two of them. And he's not a third liner, even though he was by definition a third liner in Tampa Bay. They played second line minutes. That line was one of the most integral pieces of their puzzle. They were on for the last 5 minutes of pretty much any game they were ever leading, which was about 80% of the games they ever played. And plus, he's got potential to be a 30-goal scorer. I'm not saying he's going to score 30 this year, but he plays a 200-foot game, as does Lindholm. Pairing him up with Tkachuk, I mean, I think that has the possibility of being a really dynamite line. And Mangiapane going with Gaudreau and Monahan. I know Gaudreau and Monahan. Last year, I was all over them saying, split these guys up. We need to see them apart for a lot of different reasons. But now we know why Monahan was so terrible. And
we think we know why. We think we know why. Let's just be careful there.
Sure.
Because when we asked how healthy he was mid-year last year, everyone said he was healthy. And then now we're hearing, oh, he was hurt in game 6-8. So I'm not saying they're wrong, but we were told he was right, and he looked wrong for a lot of last year.
Yeah, but I give him credit for saying he was right. Like, I give players credit. I hate hearing that a guy, yeah, I'm actually pretty banged up. I got a bit of a hamstring issue. Like, then because we all just pile on these guys and say it's just an excuse. I think the noble thing to do is to lie and say that you're fine.
Hmm.
And then I give him a lot of credit for that, going through a whole year pretty hobbled up. Again, we're taking his word for it at the end here, but he did have hip surgery. I mean, I haven't seen the paperwork from the actual.
No, he clearly did have surgery at the end. Yeah, no question.
Yeah.
And he was worse at the end than he was at the beginning. And at some point they decided to shut him down. Yes, he was hurt. I'm not debating that. I just think you're putting a lot of undue heat on a player when you say he's healthy and he's not. And it's easy for someone else to say he's working through something. And that doesn't give anything away. That's not an excuse. It's a physical sport. But when everyone's saying, oh, he's fine, there's nothing wrong, and you're hearing whispers that aren't public that he is hurt, I mean, that leads to a situation where we're like, what's wrong with this guy? Where's the 30-goal guy?
Yeah.
Why does he look ineffective at the NHL level when he scored 32 years ago?
Well, don't forget, you know, that this team didn't have the offensive depth it needed last year. And this coach was like, hey, even a Monahan at 70% or 50% is better than a young kid in the eyes of the coach, right? So there was a lot of pressure for him to keep playing. And I give him credit for playing through what he played through last year. But either way, yes, last year, everyone's down on Monahan. Of course, the trade value is not there anymore. Everyone's down on him. This city has been very, very hard on Monahan, despite the incredible numbers he's put up and the incredible consistency he's had. I know he's not a number one center. I've heard that argument a million times. I agree with that. But he's a damn good center. And for a number two center, or whatever you want to call him, scoring 30 goals pretty much every year and being the first in your draft class ahead of McKinnon to get the 200 goals is pretty damn impressive.
He had a great start to his career, no question. It's a huge year for him. I will say this.
This is a huge year.
Say he's a great number two center, we got to see it. Because I see a number two center in Vancouver that's Bo Horvat. And I see a number two center in Edmonton that's Leon Draisaitl. And I see a number two center in Winnipeg that's Pierre-Luc Dubois. And I see a number two center in L.A. that's could be Quentin Byfield. Like, it's nice that he had a great 5-6 years to open his career, but you start measuring him around the division, there's a lot of number two centers I put ahead of him.
I will wager whatever you want to wager this year that Monahan has more goals, assists, and points than Quentin Byfield.
Okay.
You want to play that game.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, guy went 2 overall is going to be very good. But I just, if he's not going to score, what's he good at? And I hope he scores. And certainly there's reason that he didn't score last year, but just to say he's healthy, it's better. We got to see it first.
Sure. We got to see Quentin Byfield live up to. Is he an NHLer? I don't know. Like, we have to see how guys perform. All I'm saying is I like them back together. They're one of the most prolific duels in the NHL over the last 7 years. They've been together that whole time, so that's going to bolster their numbers. But I like it. I'm okay with it. And that's not to say, if it doesn't work, that you can't switch those guys around. But to start the season, I'm okay with Monahan. Now, if you'd open the season and put Backlund in the second line spot, you know, I could see an argument for that too, just to see if Monahan can get, you know, back to where he was. But for now, I think he deserves the benefit of the doubt, and you put him with Gaudreau because that chemistry is something that you can't manufacture. They've had that over the years. They're both very excited to play with one another. I think it's a, you know. How's it going to go? I don't know. I think it's going to go very well this year, to be honest.
Okay.
The whole goal for this organization is to protect those guys, to insulate them from the other team's top line checkers, right? If you can get to a point where the top line checkers are always drawn to Lindholm, Tkachuk, and Coleman, or whoever's on that top line, and leave Johnny and Monty and Mangiapane alone to some degree, to a lesser degree, then I think that this team has a chance at scoring the amount of goals they need in this defensive system.
Yeah, I can see how they got there. Even if Sutter loved what he saw from Gaudreau, Tkachuk, and Lindholm, it's just really tough to find another line that's going to score if you put those three guys together. So let's say even you elevate Backlund, I feel like you'd want to put him with Mangiapane and Coleman. Like, there's a great shutdown line. That's a great third line. That's a championship-level third line. Like, you know, the way that New Jersey and Tampa used him. And all three of those guys you trust in all three zones, and they're all going to, you know, flirt with 20 goals. But you just, if you have Gaudreau, Tkachuk, Lindholm together, what's left that can score? Like, we haven't seen Monahan score without Gaudreau. Dubé hasn't done it yet. And who else can even flirt in, on a great career type season with 20? I don't know.
Well, I think that all those guys in the top six right now are all capable of scoring 20 goals. Do I think that all six guys are going to score 20 goals? No, it's pretty rare. But I don't think you can question any one of them. I think they've all done it before. They've all scored 20 goals. Mangiapane's been on pace to be well over 20.
Yeah.
If he plays full season.
I don't worry about him.
So,
yeah.
So, you know, I think that top line of Lindholm, you know, again, I know Gaudreau went on that flurry late in the season playing with Lindholm and Tkachuk, and a lot of people got excited about that line. And that's fair. Like, it, you know, but I think I'd rather see Gaudreau on the second line, you know, for a million different reasons, as I alluded to before. That taking some pressure off this guy, I think, is the only way that you're ever going to give him a position to have success in the playoffs. We're getting way ahead of ourselves to talk playoffs this year. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But I do like that top six. I just think they finally slot in well. You know, I guess that third line is good. Obviously, that's your shutdown line. Backlund's been one of the better players in the league at shutting down guys over the years. Dubé's had some success as a third line shutdown guy. And Pitlick was brought in to do just that as well. But, you know, where this team gets into real trouble is, you know, I thought depth was supposed to be one of their big strengths last year. It obviously wasn't. It was one of their biggest weaknesses. This year, I'm not sure they're very deep either. If Pitlick's not ready to start the season, already you're starting to put a guy who's probably an AHLer into an NHL lineup. Right?
I think it's Richie. I think Richie comes in, but yeah, Richie. There's one more after that. You're dipping, right?
That's right. Yeah. After that, boy. And you know, Sutter talked about that. You need to be at least four or at least five or six wingers deep on each side and in the middle over the course of a season, because injuries are going to happen, especially in a compressed season. So the depth of this organization is really going to be tested. And even though, you know, I don't think there's any question we're going to see Glenn Gaudin in this lineup this year, right? Whether he's ready or not. We're going to see maybe Adam Rzeczka. I don't know. That's where it kind of gets scary for this organization, I think.
Okay, well, step aside. If you missed the game last night, we'll give you some sounds of that as we head to break. It's the Eric Francis Show every Monday for our good pals at Horse Racing Alberta. Tuesdays and Sundays at Century Downs Racetrack and Casino. Limited fan access available. You can also take part watching at home. For more information on how to get into the action, visit hpibet.com. Game in a minute.
Game in a minute, brought to you by Hyatt Infinity. Save up to $18,400 on selected executive-driven models. Visit Calgary's original Infinity destination, Heritage Meadows Road on Luxury Lane.
Live from Scotiabank Saddledome in Calgary, but for the first time since March 8th of 2020, there are fans in the stands, and they're here for a preseason Battle of Alberta between Michael Backlund and the Calgary Flames and Derek Ryan and the Edmonton Oilers.
I must admit I had a couple.
Richard holds it in, winds and fires. Lidar the save, loose puck, right in the blue paint. They jam away and can't knock it in the Flames net. As Hamblin walks in, Hamblin to the backhand, scores. Takes it free and behind the net. Now it bounces in front. Ryan whacking and hacking, scores. Pocket pick by Perlini, who speeds down the ice. Perlini shoots. Good save. Rebound. He scores. And now Benson tries a shot. Has it blocked. McLeod on the wraparound. Robbed by Werner, who got a piece of the puck with the blade of his skate to keep it out of the net. Phillips plays it left wing side. Rashid's going to Phillips. And what a save by Konovalov. The best by either Oiler goaltender tonight. And Edmonton will leave Calgary with a 4-0 win.
Game in a Minute, brought to you by Hyatt Infinity. Lease or finance any 2021 QX50 and receive complimentary winter tires. From Calgary's original Infinity destination, Heritage Meadows Road on Luxury Lane.
The 9 with Ryan Pinder continues on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
10 minutes to go in the show. We'll weigh in on some Ryder Cup in a moment. But first, you heard about the Colts right there. Let's head to Matty Rose for an update and a little report on what's happened since we last spoke.
Another tough loss for the Colts yesterday. They were at home taking on the Edmonton Huskies. This one got away from them, 57-14, the final score. The Colts fall to 0-5. But one thing to maybe take a positive from is they're putting up some points. They've scored 93 points over five games, so just below 20. It actually has them 10th in the entire country out of 18 teams. So, you know, could be worse. Granted, their points against is not ideal.
Not hot.
Not ideal, for sure. But they'll look towards next week. They're going to take on the Winnipeg Rifles out in Winnipeg. That'll be on October the 3rd. As the Colts look for their first win, the Rifles are just ahead of them in the standings. And then we have got one more game that's actually going to be on our airwaves right here on Sportsnet 960. That's coming up Sunday, October the 17th. Myself and Will Nault will have the call of the Winnipeg Rifles and Calgary Colts from Schuldice Park. Ooh. That'll be a 1 o'clock start on October the 17th. And of course, big thanks to Allardyce Bauer Consulting for helping get all those games on the air.
We're getting some weather here. Hopefully it hangs around for the Colts there down the stretch. Love it.
I've been told that they've got like a tent coming to kind of give us because we're outside press box. Okay. And hopefully the tent is there. Maybe a heater wouldn't be the worst thing. But, you know, we got the first two games this season in beautiful days, like burn my forehead type of days.
Oh, yeah.
These are different. So,
yeah, maybe less sunblock in October. That's probably a move.
Most likely, yeah.
It's Monday. We're between 9 and 10, excuse me. That means it's Eric Francis Monday for Horse Racing Alberta. Eric, we're back. Did you catch any Ryder Cup this weekend?
I sure did. And, you know, that to me, I'm in the camp that thinks that that's one of the greatest sporting events in the world. But it proved this weekend to not even be in the top 20. Like, you know, like the way the drama did not unfold. It just sucked. It sucked, right? I mean, did anybody, was anyone riveted by it?
Thursday was good.
Yeah.
when the outcome was swinging in the balance, but it didn't sin. It hasn't since.
Yeah. And you know, if you're an American or you feel really strongly about them winning, then sure. Of course you soaked up every minute of it. But if you're just a sports fan who loves drama and storylines, there was none of that on the weekend. And that's unfortunate. I mean, yeah, I watched it, but I wasn't glued to it like I usually am because it is usually so dripping in emotion. And, you know, I can only take so many USA chants in one viewing before I want to throw up. So, you know, good on the Americans. Best team ever assembled.
Yeah.
I think the numbers are staggering that, you know, they had, what, five rookies. And I think those rookies went something like 14-4. That's scary moving forward, right? To think that they have four of the top five ranked players in the world. They're all young. They're all, you know, got lots of golf left in them. And, you know, it was only, what, 4 or 5 years ago that U.S. golf was having summits to try and figure out how they can start to compete against the Europeans.
Yep.
And now it might be the other way around. The Europeans may want to gather up soon and go, how in the hell are we going to beat the Americans anytime soon? Because that was a slaughter.
They'd won 4 or 5 coming in, 7 of 9. It was quite a run for the Euros, who quite often were overmatched on paper, but somehow managed to outplay as a team the Americans. Too much talent this time, and the Euros ran with an older group that had won a ton, but it was asking a lot from an older core against a young up-and-coming American group, and a lot of them hadn't tasted defeat. A lot of them weren't tainted by, you know, losing already. And the scene obviously will switch back to Europe for the next one in a couple of years, maybe even less than that, because obviously this was pushed back by COVID. Interesting. President's Cup, by the way, in Montreal 2024, Eric, if you're booking well out. That's the rest of the world against the Americans, and the state of Canadian golf would suggest there could be 1, 2 or more on that squad if only Montreal was a fun place to visit.
If only there was more to do there than just watch a tournament. Yeah, that's kind of cool. I think that it's great that it's in Canada, and I bet you that's going to be a very, very big story. No matter how many Canadians we have on a team, and surely we'll have at least one, if not more, like you said. That's so great that it's in our country. Has it ever been in Canada before? I bet it has way back when.
It had to have, yeah. I would think so.
Yeah,
for
there's
sure.
Your history. There's your history question for the day. We'll have to look that up. We'll get back to people next week on that. But anyway, that'll be cool. And, you know, golf these days is just so filled. There are reasons to watch every week now. I really believe that because, you know, in the past you'd watch golf and you'd be like, I don't know about you, but for me, I look and I'd be like, yeah, there aren't many big names on the leaderboard this week. I'm good. I don't need to watch the John Deere Classic where the guys are going 27 under. But there nowadays, it seems like the big names are always on the leaderboard, I guess, because there are so many guys who can win every single week. So
yeah.
Golf has maybe never been healthier than it is right now. And America winning the Ryder Cup is actually really, really good for golf. I hate to say that, but I do think it's good for golf.
Well, I mean, we're a Tiger away from basically having every storyline you could ever want. You've got the black hat in Bryson. You've got the big rivalry there. You've got young and up-and-coming stars like Morikawa, Brooks Koepka, the big game expert. I mean, there's just so many guys. Cantlay and Schauffele were just unbelievable. It's game's in a great place for sure. For sure. And by the way, last time it was hosted in Canada, Montreal 2007, only time as well.
Oh God, it was that recent. Jeez, we should have been paying attention. How about Stricker dropping that bomb at the end saying Bryson and Brooks wanted to play together as a team?
People around the tour have suggested that they don't like each other, but there's also now this millions of dollars of bonuses for social media stuff and that. Yeah. Everyone knows the rivalry plays. They don't have to ride the same private jet and sit down and have meals together. They can, you know, prefer to be with other company, but now you just air your grievances and we're getting tabloid stuff. So I don't think they like each other, but I think they certainly understand there's a financial and attention benefit for playing up the rivalry. It's interesting.
No doubt about it. But for them to actually allegedly suggest they wanted to play together, you telling me you wouldn't have watched every single minute of that broadcast? Like if they had announced that they were going to play together,
could have saved yesterday's broadcast. Yeah,
wow, that would have been great. Anyway, cool story.
Hey, good stuff this week. We will see the Flames in action again tonight. We've got that game for you. They're in Vancouver to face the Canucks in Abbotsford. Never heard of it. And more reaction throughout the week. We'll check in next Monday, my man.
Okay, thanks, buddy. Have a great week. Get out there and play some more golf.
Yeah, probably not a bad idea. Might have to do that. Maddie, you're taking that to heart. So
yeah, okay.
Well, why not? By the way, how nice was that yesterday? Were you short sleeves?
Yes, sir. Short sleeves, long pants, because, you know, I had to look the part.
Short sleeves, long pants, short sleeves, long pants,
short sleeves, long pants.
I need you to hold that. I need you to hold.
While you search for pants. Thank you. Francis Show Mondays for our good friends at Horse Racing Alberta. 9 till 10, Century Downs Racetrack and Casino. Open for fan access now. HPIbet.com to wager and join the fun from home. It is Rintoul and Sermon coming up. It is NHL hockey on your radio tonight. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.